One, two, three, four. We open wide our hearts for you, Lord. Open up the gate.
Yeah.
ancient doors. Let the King of Kings take his rightful place. This old hymn, we praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone up above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Everybody, we praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us the Savior and banished our night. Hallelujah, bind the glory. Hallelujah. Glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has taken the sin and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us.
Sing again, hallelujah.
Start, renew, Lord, come touch us again
with your power,
with your power, with your love, with your fire from above. Reignite us again.
Come on, let's sing that part again. Revive,
revive, refresh, restart. Lord, come touch us again
with your power,
with your power,
with your love,
with your fire from above. Reignite us again.
Hallelujah.
And hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah.
Slow one more time. You ready?
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us.
Amen. Aren't you grateful for a God who revives our souls, who revives us as we remember his goodness, as even now we sense his presence, and as we declare through worship his promises, which brings hope anew to us. What a reviver he is. And for some of us who've walked quite a long road this last year or so, he's the God of new beginnings and refreshing and renewal. So grateful. Let me just pray for us. Lord, we do pray. We, with open hearts and open gates and open hands, we say, come, be the revivalist in our souls and in our hearts, Lord God. We need a touch from you, a fresh sense of your presence. We surrender ourselves to you that you could have your way amongst us and in our homes and in our lives and our families. We thank you that you hear this prayer. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.
We worship you. It's not for the things that you do, and not for the blessing you give. And though you've been faithful and true, with mercies brand new, Lord, but because
all sing. All we honor
you in spirit and in truth, Lord.
We honor
you.
And oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever. What's going to happen next is you're going to see a video that we did previous, which is a song called Let's Think About Our God. And to quote my son Jake Walker from his sermon a couple of weeks ago, it's important to think about what you're thinking about, because what you're thinking about affects everything about your life. And so this song encourages you and us to think about our God. Amen. Amen.
Far from the broken hearted ones. Let's think about Hey, welcome to my CA family, any visitors or guests. Great to be with you as well. Well, a couple weeks ago, we started these little pastoral moments to answer the question that so many have been asking the pastoral staff as we come into this fresh season. What can I do to be helpful? And as we took that to prayer, the Lord led me to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And it was so exciting to see not only your joy, but in that passage, it speaks about the people rejoice to be part of restoring the house of the Lord. Well, the first helpful action we talked about was prayer. The second one was that when you're ready to return to indoor weekly worship and have that be a regular part of your rhythm. This week, we're on action step number 3, which is this. I want you to renew your commitment to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, as things open up more and more, things begin to return to normal, you're going to be around more people in social settings, maybe more in person at work or in your neighborhood or whatever that might be. And you need to know that people are coming out of the pandemic and some of them are looking for hope because what they trusted in failed them. In fact, we've all probably heard that Google searches for things like prayer and Jesus skyrocketed during the pandemic. But now there's an opportunity, as we're around more people just in our everyday life, to be prayerful and asking, God, who is it that you want me to share the good news of Jesus and all the good things that God has been doing in my life to help them come to know Christ? In fact, I want to challenge us to each think of at least 3 people that we're praying for and asking God to use us to help them come to know Jesus. That's one of the most helpful things we can do. And as you go about your day, as our mission says, God's grace compels us to lead spiritually convinced and unconvinced people to Jesus Christ. Complete commitment. Who is it that's spiritually unconvinced in your life that God's putting on your heart to tell them again, or maybe the first time, the good news of Jesus Christ?
Thank you, Tom, for action step number 3, calling us to evangelism. Would you join me as I pray? Father God, as Tom has called us to think of 3 names, write them down, and pray for them, would you help us to do that? I believe you've put people in our lives that you want us to share faith with. So God, would this be a work of your Spirit? And Lord, as those names come to us, would you give us the grace to not only pray for them, but then to take a step of inviting them? Thank you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome everyone. I'm so glad that you're with us today, and a special welcome to any guests or visitors joining us. It's been great to have our indoor services resume, and we now have 3 service times, all of them in our South Sanctuary. We're meeting Saturday evenings at 6 and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11:15. And a few reminders about our services. Effective last weekend, social distancing and masks are now optional in all of our services. We know that some of you will be more comfortable continuing to wear your mask or social distance, while others of you will not. I just want to tell you, both are acceptable, and we thank you for continuing to be gracious to everyone in our community. Well, we're looking to hire a new women's pastor. It's a full-time position, and the role is a women's community life pastor. Candidates should have a mature faith in Jesus, a love for the local church, and a strong passion for discipling women and developing leaders. If you are interested or know of anyone who might be a good candidate, you can go online for the full job description and to apply. If you'd like to give, you can give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website by clicking on the Give tab. And as always, thank you for your generosity. It's a Kingdom weekend, so let's hear from Scott Quay with our Kingdom update for June.
Well, hey, church family, it's Kingdom weekend, where we take time once a month to highlight what God's doing through our church as we seek to advance his kingdom both locally and globally. I'm excited to share that we're going to have an upcoming Serve Day that we're doing on July 24th with One Day LA. CA is joining in with thousands of others who are serving in Los Angeles with One Day LA this summer. We're going to be doing different outreaches and service projects throughout the city that include a teacher's lounge remodel at a local school, doing an outreach for foster families, serving homeless ministries, having a park outreach, and more. So if you want to register, you'll also receive a ticket to go to the One Day LA Stadium event at the LA Memorial Coliseum that evening. So if you want to be a part of some exciting things that God's doing in our city, I really encourage you to come out and serve with us on July 24th. We're going to need about 100 people to make this possible, and you can check out more information and register at cachurch.com/kingdom. Well, on the global side, we get to hear from our kingdom partners in Central Asia who are reaching out to unreached people groups. God's doing some amazing things through their ministry as they're doing clean water projects and disciple-making movements among the unreached. Let's check out their exciting update together.
Hi, CA. We are so excited to get to share with you today. God's been doing so many exciting things lately. You know, we have the most amazing team of national partners working there in Central Asia. They're going into villages. They're pursuing the vision that God's called us to of seeing transformation in villages through a disciple-making movement that leads to healthy, multiplying, praying churches. Sharon, Karen, two of our national partners, were working in a village where we have a water project where they met a woman named Nika there who used to be a spiritist. They get a chance to pray for her to be delivered from demons, and the Lord sets her free. In the midst of her process, she has a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. She's sitting at home. When she hears a voice outside, she goes out to see what it is. She walks down to a river, and she sees Jesus with her open eyes. The heavens were opened around him, and he says, "I'm coming soon. Now is the time to pray for the sick and to share about me." So she starts taking Sharon Karen to pray for many homes and bringing deliverance to many other people.
Nika, like almost all women where we live, was abused in her marriage. But when she became a follower of Jesus, her husband also became a follower of Jesus. And that is when God started a process of reconciliation and peace between Nika and her husband.
And that's just one story. Our team is now working with almost 100 homes where non-believers and believers are studying and learning from the Bible, and families are being transformed and communities are being transformed. Thank you, CA, for making this possible. Thanks for your financial support. Thanks for your prayers. We love you guys.
Well, it's so exciting what God's doing in Central Asia through our kingdom partners among unreached people groups. You know, back in March, we had a team of 9 people from CA that did a virtual short-term trip with our partners in Central Asia. We got to learn about the ministry, culture, and hear some stories of from their national leaders of how God's moving in miraculous ways. It's amazing to see God reveal himself to people like Nika and the ways that communities are being transformed in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we're so thankful for how you're moving powerfully in Central Asia right now. God, we think especially for those people in remote villages who have yet to hear of who you are, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to use our partners there to reach the unreached there, and that you would spark a disciple-making movement so that so many people, Lord, can have a chance to hear about you. God, we also pray for this upcoming Serve event with One Day LA, Lord. We pray that you do a mighty work in our city as thousands of people gather to serve in your name. We thank you so much, Lord, for all that we get to be a part of in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks so much for your prayers, service, and generosity to be a part of such amazing things God's doing both locally and globally. You can give to our kingdom offering, which supports all of our efforts that are having tremendous impact. You can give online and make sure to click the kingdom offering tab. Thanks so much for linking arms in God's mission together.
Hello, welcome CA family. It's so good to be with you. It is a privilege and an honor, just to get to talk to you today. My name's Coley. If you haven't met me, I'd love to meet you at some point. I just want to thank Tom and Mark and the management team for allowing me such an incredible privilege to be here diving into the Word of God with you. And so today we're going to talk about something super fun. We're going to talk about suffering. And so I have titled this sermon, The Struggle is Real. Does anyone out there feel me? I see some hands in the kitchen. The struggle is real, friends. We've been in this season of COVID pandemic, and it's real. Has anyone had a hard time adjusting to life, either before or even transitioning back? The reality is you and I live in a world that's broken, and there is suffering, and there is struggling. And so we're going to explore today what it means to suffer for being a Christian, why that matters, and how we do it well. And so we're going to read Peter's letter. But before we do that, I have been looking at the struggle is real memes and GIFs. It's been one of the real gifts of the pandemic. People's creativity and humor have gone way off the charts. I love that God made us with humor and for laughter. So I just want to share a few really funny ones that I found that have just, they got to me. But these are a few of the struggle is real thoughts from people. One of them is, the struggle is real. I just checked my bank account and figured out I can live comfortably without working for the rest of my life as long as I die on Wednesday. The struggle's real. This next one, I don't know how many cookies it takes to be happy, but so far it's not 27. The struggle is real, cookie lovers. This one is, I walk around like everything is fine, but deep down inside my shoe, my sock is falling off. Struggle's real. And this is my personal favorite one. When people give directions like, then head north, okay, Lewis and Clark, do I turn at Chick-fil-A or go towards Sonic? The struggle is real. You and I are faced with all different types of struggles in our life, and we're going to explore today what it means to struggle for being a Christian. So will you bow your heads? Will you pray with me? And then we're going to dive into Peter's text. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the God of wisdom and understanding. Lord, we thank you that you've walked this earth. You know exactly what it's like to be in our shoes. So God, I just invite you here now. I invite the Holy Spirit to be with us and to minister to us in this place, Lord. But some of us are going through hard things in this season, Lord. So I pray you'd speak a word of hope and encouragement to all who hear. We thank you for who you are and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're diving right in. We're going 1 Peter. If you haven't been with us, we've been going through the book of 1 Peter, and now we're at the chapter, we're chapter 4. We're talking about suffering for being a Christian. And so I'm going to read the whole text for us, and then we can spend some time kind of breaking it up together. But it starts with the word beloved. In verse 12, it says beloved. Now, before we even go any further, I want you to just pause wherever you are. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about somebody that you love. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's a grandparent. Think of somebody in your mind who you love. Then you can open your eyes once you have that person. And what I want you to do is, as we read this text together, I want you to hear it like it's coming from their voice. You see, the thing is, Peter was talking to a community who he knew and who he loved. He wasn't some crazy psychologist. He wasn't a wild theologian. Peter was just talking to his brothers and sisters, those he loved and cared about. So everything he says in this message would be the same effect as if your sibling, your spouse, a child, a grandparent, a beloved friend, if somebody you knew really well said these things to you. One of the things I love about the Bible is it's a love story. So how we read it, how we interpret the genre matters into how we understand the text. In God's Bible is a love story. And this, my friends, is a love text that Peter sends. He starts by saying, beloved. He's inviting you in to his inner world. It's personal, it's relational, and there's care in this message. So hear it like it's coming from somebody you love, because that's what Peter is intending when he writes it. So he says, verse 12, he says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. That is the word. I hope you got to see it on your screen. And that's where we're going to spend some time. We're going to unpack and we're going to dive into today. And so we're going to just chunk it out verse by verse because that's why my mind works. And you're with me today. So this is, you get to be part of Holy World. So what we're going to do is first verse says, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you. I believe there's four lessons in this text that Peter's trying to get us to understand. And so I'm going to highlight each of the points I think he's trying to make. And the first message is don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when trials come. Don't be surprised when things get hard. This one is so hard for us. There's this myth in Christian world and the church that when you follow Jesus and he makes you new and he saves you from your sins, that everything's easy. And that's just not the reality. If any of you have ever been whitewater rafting, bungee jumping, anything adventurous, there's always kind of this moment before you do something scary that a guide comes in and explains what's going to happen. And so one time I remember I went whitewater rafting and the guide explains, you know, like you could hit a rock and the water could come pouring in. Don't panic. You're not going to drown. There's something in the raft like that can, the water can get out. So if we tip over, don't panic. Just hold your life vest and stick through. And so they gave us like the crash course. So when you're out there, when we were out there actually doing the whitewater rafting and the waves were coming and the boat felt flooded and we almost turned at once, we weren't afraid because we knew what to expect. Peter's trying to give us a heads up. He's saying, you got to be aware that fiery trials are going to come. It's just part of the game. And so when you know that, you can prepare differently. Life is all about expectations. If you go to McDonald's expecting prime rib, you're going to be so disappointed. But if you go to a steakhouse expecting McDonald's, when that meal comes and you eat it and that seared steak, you're going to be delighted. Peter is saying, watch your expectations. Watch the myth of the world that you can avoid suffering, that everything's supposed to go smooth, that it's easy peasy. That's just not the reality. As a pastor, I get to meet with a lot of people. And the question I think, in myself included, that we wrestle with is like, why me? Or how did this happen? Or why right now? This is part of what Paul's trying to give us a heads up on. He says, don't be surprised when the fiery trials come. They're gonna come. It's just a matter of us being prepared for them, being able to receive them. It says, don't be surprised when it comes upon you as though something strange were happening to you. Sometimes we can get kind of caught off guard of like, did I do something wrong? Did someone in my past do something wrong? How do I fix this? What do I do? And he's saying, don't be surprised when strange things happen. It's all par for the course. If any of you have ever seen the show Stranger Things, classic. The kids in it are so cute who act. I love it. There's this concept of, they're in their normal little world, and then there's the upside down, this other world. And so they're just living in their normal life and going about life, and all of a sudden, strange things start happening. I don't want to give it away, because if you haven't watched it, I want you to watch it, but strange things start happening that cause them to go on an adventure. So they go into an adventure, and what they discover is that there's this parallel universe, and things from the universe are suddenly infiltrating their world. Why do I love this show? I actually think this show, this concept of two kingdoms, one that we can see and one that we can't see, is so biblically accurate to the way we live. We live on this earth, but there is a spiritual dimension, and there is a source of evil whose name is Satan. There is good and evil in the world, and sometimes evil invades and we don't understand why or how or who, and we're surprised. And what Peter's saying is he's saying, check it. Don't be surprised when something hard comes. Be prepared for it. Expect it. Like the whitewater rafting, when a bump hits, don't assume you did something wrong, someone else did something wrong. Don't be surprised. This is part of it. So that's the first thing Peter warns of us. He says, don't be surprised. Carrying on verse 13, it says, but rejoice in so far as you share Christ's suffering. Rejoice. How many of you want to rejoice when you are suffering? I know that I don't. It's not our knee-jerk reaction. But again, we live in a different world with a different God who has different rules. The kingdom is inverted. The first are last. The last will be first. If you want to be the greatest, you need to be the least. God encourages us. Peter encourages us. He says, when you're suffering, I want you to rejoice. That should be your knee-jerk reaction, right? Second, that baby's crying at 3 a.m., rejoice, you're up. It says, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you were insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. There are times where you and I will be mocked, we will be persecuted, we will be made fun of, we will be isolated because we believe in Jesus. There are things that we will suffer because of our faith, because of the hope that we profess. And what Peter's saying here, he says, when that happens, rejoice. Well, how do we do that? Why do we do that? One of the reasons we do that is because it's shared intimacy with the Lord. Have you ever been through something really hard with somebody or suffered anything traumatic? When you go through hard things with somebody else, there's this kind of bond that's created with one another. Philippians 3:10-11 says this. It says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. You see, there's this desire that when we suffer with God, we get close to God. And then when we suffer with him, we get to experience glory with him. I don't know if any of you remember when the plane landed in the Hudson in 2009, Captain Scully saved 150 passengers and did a traumatic landing right in the water in the Hudson River. And ever since then, camera crews, the world's kind of watched in amazement at what happened, the feat that he undertook, and how everyone survived. So they do these reunions with them, and recently they had a 10-year reunion. And some of the crew and the members spoke, and they said they do a reunion every single year, just a time to get together, to cry with each other, to remember that day. They do it on the day every year, because trauma and things that are hard that we go through bond us to people. It's a connection that no one else can understand. And one of the reasons that we get to rejoice is that when people cause us to struggle, when we suffer for Jesus, we don't do that alone. We do that with Jesus. Jesus chose to die and suffer for us. And so when we suffer for his name by being mocked, by being teased, whatever kind of suffering we undergo, we're really just getting closer to Jesus. We're sharing in that experience with him. And another thing that we have to remember too about rejoicing is there's no glory without suffering. We don't get the good stuff without coming to the bad stuff. And so going through the valley with the Lord allows us to go into the mountain with the Lord, right? He invites us into his glory, but part of that is us being willing to enter the valley with him. Is there a place in your life right now, as you think about your life, that you're struggling? You're struggling to be a Christian. You're struggling with your faith. You're struggling to live out what you believe you're called to do. What would it look like for you to submit that to God and trust him for his glory to show up in your sufferings? Glory, suffering go hand in hand, which is one of the beautiful things about our God. Romans 8:17 says this, now if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in the same sufferings in order that we may also share in the glory. God invites us into both. So if you're in a season where you're suffering, I want to encourage you, hang on. There's glory coming on the other side of it. And then this is my favorite part about the rejoicing. It says, if you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. When we are suffering, God brings his cloak of glory, the Holy Spirit, and it surrounds us. I like to think of like a magic cape, this thing that comes and protects us. The Spirit of God is on us. It covers us when we're suffering. That's such a beautiful image of me. You're not alone when you suffer. God is with you and sends reinforcements. You're clothed with glory from on high. Some of you who are going through something hard right now, I wonder what it looked like to ask God, show me what it looks like that your glory is with with me, that the Spirit of the Lord is on me and with me in this situation. I believe God wants us to know that he's with us and he's clothing us on high. I love that vision. If you've ever seen the red carpet, if you ever watch any of the reality shows, there's always this red carpet where people come out and they look fancy, and they're always interview them and they say, who are you wearing? And then they'll give credit to the designers like, oh, Oscar de la Renta or Gucci, because they want to build up whoever their designer is. I like to think of it when we're going through something hard and people ask who we're wearing, we get to say, Jesus. I'm wearing the most powerful king. I'm wearing the ruler of the universe. I'm wearing the author of love. I'm wearing the resurrection, life everlasting. We wear Jesus. He clothes us in himself. So dress him, press, wear him well when you go through hardships. And the last thing, that there's a little promise in here. It's a promise that when you're insulted, you'll be blessed. And this goes back to the Beatitudes, if you were with us for that sermon series. Matthew 5:11-12 says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When we suffer for Jesus, for standing up for our faith, for believing in him, for loving our enemies, which is such a hard thing to do, when we show up in our Christian faith and live as Jesus did, there's likely to be persecution. But what this Bible verse is saying is, blessed are you when you stand up for Jesus and someone throws an insult, because great is your reward in heaven. God sees everything that we live through. If you think about a scoreboard, there is a scoreboard in heaven, and nothing you do, nothing you suffer or endure for the name of Christ, none of that is in vain. God sees everything. So if you're going through a hard situation at work, with your coworkers, maybe in your family, of people that don't believe, I encourage you, stay strong. Stay strong. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of Jesus' name. And lastly, the thing that I believe God invites us to rejoice about in suffering is this concept of being refined or renewed. In 1 Peter, in the first chapter, he talks about a flame kind of purifying metal. That's what happens to our faith when we go through suffering. It's like he's purifying us. He's washing away the rubbish. He's getting rid of the beliefs and the things in our hearts and minds that don't matter. Some of you, it's easy for us to think that we want someone else to be refined, right? We're like, get that little fiery torch on that one, right? The person next to you or your kids. It's easy for us to want other people to be refined. It's a lot harder for us to admit as humans that we need refining, that there's things in us that need cleaning out. Suffering has this ability to kind of help reshape some of our priorities, our values. It makes things really clear, and it makes us holier. And so one of the things God invites us to rejoice in is that he is working on us. He's doing work in our hearts that you and I don't have access to, that we can't do without him. And so when Peter says rejoice, he means praise the Lord that God's making you new. He's transforming you. He hasn't forgotten you. He's shaping and folding and molding your character. How beautiful is that? That God's accessing parts of you that you don't have access to, that only God himself, author of the universe, can get to. That's one of the things we rejoice in suffering. Make me new, Lord. Use this for your glory. Let it be good. So that's the second point. We're going to rejoice. So don't be surprised when hard stuff happens, when you suffer, life is full about expectations, par for the course. Second thing is rejoice. There's goodness. God has things for you in suffering that you will not have access to anywhere else. And the third thing I believe that Peter invites us to do is to choose. And so we're in verse 15, it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. So the struggle is real. And in life, you and I have choices. We have choices every single day to choose Jesus or to choose the way of the world. So Peter lays it out really clearly. He says, don't suffer for being a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or even a meddler. Even someone who's trying to get in other people's business is compared to a murderer. The thing is, sin has real consequences. We know this. So this is a whole nother sermon, but we know that we reap what we sow. And so Peter is saying, don't suffer unduly. You know that sin leads to death. Don't do evil things. There's no reward in that. There's no goodness in that. There's only death. If you're going to suffer, and all of us at some point in life suffer because life is hard, he's saying choose the better way. Choose the righteous way. Choose the way of Christ. Suffer for Christ. Don't suffer for evil things. There's no benefits in this. It's only pain. It's a road to destruction. But suffering for Christ, there's rewards. And then he uses language that I think is super powerful. He says, let him not be ashamed when you suffer for Jesus. Shame is this ugly, heavy, sticky, suffocating coat that can be put on us. And for all of us who have sinned, we know the feeling of shame. Shame is the feeling. Guilt is the feeling that I did something wrong. Shame is the feeling that I am wrong. And so when you and I live in ways that are wrong, in ways that hurt people, in ways that hurt us, the shame kind of can penetrate us. It can live in us, and it's an icky feeling. And the Lord, Peter right now is saying, don't suffer for doing bad. Suffer for doing good because you won't be ashamed. When you stand up for Christ, when you stand up for your faith, when you live for the truth, when you love others, there's no shame in that, that icky feeling of I did something wrong. It's not there because you know that you're right before the Lord and that he covers you. So there's no shame. If any of you are going through a season where you're feeling shame, I want to encourage you that Christ invites you to a life without shame. He covers your sins. And when we suffer for Jesus, there's no, you don't have to be ashamed because we're standing up for something that's true, that's real, that's righteous. And so Peter's saying, you have a lot of choices to make in life. Sin ends in death. Good righteousness in Christ ends in life. Choose the righteous way. Choose to be a believer when it's hard. Choose the less traveled path. Choose to forgive that person who continues to hurt you. Choose to have the loving conversation with the person you can't stand to look at. Choose to be gracious to that neighbor that gets on your nerves. Let love be the ruler and author of your life. And there's an invitation for no shame. You will not be ashamed in that. I love that. Hebrews. Oh, I jumped ahead on my notes. Sorry, I got really excited. It's fun to go through this, but I get kind of excited when I teach. So anyways, shame is something that we don't have to live with. And what is coming, what he talks about in the later verses is that judgment is coming. Now, when Peter was writing this, it was the time that Nero was over the empire and Nero was persecuting Christians. He would actually take Christians and light them on fire and put them in the imperial gardens. Nero wanted to wipe out the Christians. And so judgment was coming on the earth to Christians. And so Peter's making the point. He says, if the righteous are seriously saved, how much more so the sinner? He's saying, do right, live well, choose to suffer with Jesus and not other things. Choose life. That's the invitation. That's the third invitation that I believe Peter gives us. Choose life. And the last one I believe he invites us to in this letter, Peter invites us to entrust ourselves to God. The last verse, 19, says, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. I love that Peter uses the title creator. Think of all the titles he could have used, like trust your father, trust your Lord, trust the king of the universe. He uses creator because I think he wants us to get that God created us so he knows how we work and what we need. God is our designer. He's our author. So God, when we're suffering, God knows how to meet us in that. God knows how to take care of us. God knows how to protect us. And God knows how to bring us out of suffering. The best part about being a Christian is the end of the story, that through the suffering, there is joy promised on the other side. There is hope. There is life. This is the Hebrews verse I wanted to share with you. It says, Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us closely. And let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Get this, this is the part. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew that on the other side of his suffering was joy, and that joy was you and I. He knew that if he went to the cross, if he took on our sins, if he died for us, that when he resurrected, if we believed in him, we would go with him. Jesus died for us because he knew that we were the focus, not the suffering, that the joy was the focus. When it says entrust yourself to God because he is the finisher. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and the end is good. There is joy in the other side of your suffering. The most natural illustration I can think of for that is a woman having a baby. 9 months of body changing and a very, very, very painful, I've heard, delivery process where there's suffering and there's tears and blood and sweat and it's painful. But then what happens out of delivering a baby comes a beautiful child, the gift of life, a moment of suffering for a life of glory. Some of you are going through things right now that feel really hard, and some of you might have been in a season or a period when you've been suffering for a long time. You've been trusting God. You've been faithful. You've been doing what's right, and it hasn't happened yet. I want to encourage you, God has not forgotten you, and God will use whatever you suffer for his good and for your good, because that's the God we serve. If it's been said before, your mess will become your message, or your test will become your testimony. God has goodness for you and on the other side of whatever you're going through right now. So what I want to encourage you to do this week in your life, in any way that you are struggling, any way that you're suffering, I want you to entrust that to God. I want you, kind of like when you walk up and give someone a gift, to bring it up to him literally and say, God, will you take my suffering and will you use it for good? Will you bring joy out of this mess, out of this brokenness, out of this chaos? Will you use it for your glory? Because God knows the plans that he has for you, and they're plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. In the beginning of the book of Peter, it talks about suffering for a little while. That word little, I want you to cling to that if you're in something that feels eternal and never ending. Jake Walker, when he preached a few weeks ago, he used this great illustration of this rope, and he had a little blue part that was our life and then all eternity. I want you to remember that image when you think of your suffering, because it will not last forever. After you suffer for a little bit, God will restore your joy. God has good things in store for you. So I just wonder, what would it look like for you to give God your suffering this week? Have you ever done like yoga or stretching? I'm not very flexible, so I've like kind of started to get back into shape, try to in COVID. And whenever I go to yoga, they do this thing where when you stretch, my instructor, no matter who it is, always says, breathe into it. Have you done that before? It's like the part that's tense, they're like, breathe into that. And so the other day I was in my little yoga class trying to keep up with all the yogis, and I had this like intense pain under my arm, and she was like, hold it, breathe into it. And I breathed into it harder than I've ever breathed into that kind of pain. Normally, I'm pain avoidant. I don't like to suffer. But I was like, this pain is killing me. I'm just going to breathe in as deep as I could. And the next thing you knew, something in my muscle unlocked and it was released. It was lightened. That's what inviting Jesus into your suffering looks like. It looks like taking a deep breath in where it hurts the most and surrendering it to him, to giving it to him and saying, God, I trust you. This is painful. I'm sitting in it. I'm suffering for you, but you are worth it. God, your glory is worth it. Your name is worth it. Your name is above all names. Invite him into the suffering. Allow him to move. Allow him to take authorship of it. Because the thing that I know about God is he's worth trusting. He loves you and he's for you, and he wants to protect you from anything that's going to come at you and try to steal your life, because his hope is to have life in Christ eternal forever. So he's for you. He's in your corner. Well, what would it look like for you to trust that God is for you and with you and in this suffering? Because the reality is the struggle's real. We're all in it. There's something that each of us personally, professionally, relationally, financially, health-wise, we're all going through something. It's part of life. But Jesus invites us to do it with him and to do it well, to do it while doing good, serving our neighbors, loving each other, forgiving our enemies, being good stewards of what God's been giving us. Do suffering with Christ, and the results will change your life. It'll transform you. What God can do with pain is the story of creation, of him redeeming humanity. So I want to encourage you, wherever struggle you're going through, we're with you. We're in it together. The struggle is real, but God is bigger than your struggle. God has goodness for you if you choose goodness in him. So I want to pray. I want to bless you. And I want to encourage you, to breathe into whatever is hard in your life right now and invite God to have his way in you, because his way is perfect and his way is good and his way is for you. Let's pray. God, we invite you, God, right now, just to minister to us in the place of our life that we're suffering, God. You know what it is for each person. You've been with us in it. You've seen it. You know the tears we've cried. You know the frustrations we've carried. You know the doubts that we have. God, we just invite your Holy Spirit right now to enter in, God. We breathe into those places of pain and suffering in our lives, Lord, and we ask you to give us strength to stay committed to you, God. To stay committed to our faith, to stay committed to your goodness, to stand up against evil, Lord, to trust you when it's hard, to forgive others, God, when they persecute us or mock us or judge us because we love you and we trust you. God, we invite you into those spaces of suffering, and we ask that you would deliver us to your joy, that you would bring goodness out of it, God, that you'd restore life to us and that you'd refine us for the better in the process, God. So we commit our sufferings to you today, Lord, knowing that you yourself suffered for us. And we enter that suffering with Christ, hoping, God, and believing that you'll use it and restore us. So God, thank you for your glory. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, CA, for hanging in there. I hope you have a great week, and I'm praying for all of you. Blessings.
I have a father, he calls me his own, he'll never, ever, ever, ever leave me, no matter where, no matter where I go. Help me out here. He knows my name. So glad that I could say,
he knows my every
thought. My every thought.
He sees each tear that falls
and hears me when I call. You can sing it with us. He knows my name. Good thing to repeat. Oh, he hears me when I believe it every time I call his name. He hears me when I call.
Thank you for being with us today. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service or would like to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, let us know so we can have one of our pastors follow up with you. You can email us at the address below or go to our webpage listed below as well. And now let me close our time with this benediction. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. God bless you. See you next week.